Brush fire fairy tales, itsy bitsy diamond wells, big fat hurricanes, yellow belly giving names.
Hello, and welcome to the third part in our Hidden World series. Today, we're going to see how birds, plants, and insects can thrive in some of our busiest spaces.
Well, we find in urban areas that we maximise the better land. And then there's these other bits. There may be ponds, there might be swampy areas, there could be marshy, there could have a thicket of trees and brambles. Well, chances are that's the seed, literally the seed for biodiversity in that area. And you can use that. And maybe instead of trying to fill in ponded areas or swampy areas, maybe we start looking at those in a different way. We see those as the starting point to a whole new area of biodiversity. It may just be a hedgerow that needs to be left, or maybe given a bit more space. Maybe try and plant native species within it, or you could put in fruit trees within it, native Irish fruit trees. Then you end up with flowers in spring and you end up with fruit in autumn, but you also end up with a whole new succession of insects and also a whole new element to the biodiversity of the site.
Slow down, everyone, you're moving too fast. Frames can't get you when you're moving.
Now, you could think the centre of Sligo Town an unlikely place to look for wildlife, but you might be surprised to discover how much life is thriving cheek by jowl with us as we hurry through our lives. So, today, keep your eyes and ears fully sharpened to see what's out there as we follow a trail through our streets and parks. Today, I'm starting in one of the oldest streets of Sligo, Barrack Street. Markovitch houses stood overlooking Sligo Harbour and the Garavogue since the 1850s, and I'd imagine that almost everyone has had a reason to visit the offices on Barrack Street at some time or other. I ducked around to the courtyard at the back of the building to meet Michael Bell of Birdwatch Ireland.
Hey Michael, you might just tell me a little bit about yourself first of all.
Okay, thanks very much for having me. I have my own little nature education company called Nature Learn, and through that I visit schools and, you know, start to get children interested in nature and involved in wildlife. And I'd also be a chair of Birdwatch Sligo, and we're a very active branch.
As we rounded the corner, Michael drew my attention to a series of oblong boxes positioned below the eaves at the back of the building. These were erected due to some very hard work by Seamus Feeney, and thanks to a partnership between Birdwatch Ireland, Sligo Tidy Towns and Sligo County Council.
So we're here at Markovitch House. I'm sure a lot of people can see it as they're driving past on over Hughes Bridge there beside the river. Tell me what we're looking at here, Michael.
Okay, we're around the back of the building. We're looking up and we can see a big series of boxes up there near the top of the building. And these are actually specially designed nest boxes for swifts. You know, swifts are very obvious in the summer. You'll see they'll fly around in big groups, you know, you'll hear them screaming, especially late summer. They kind of form these screaming parties where they're flying just over your head in town. They would feed along the river. They will travel a long way to feed. I mean, they know birds that nest in London during the day, they might go over to France to feed. Depending on the weather, you know, they kind of go where there's good food. Birds from here possibly could go as far as Loch Ney just for the day to feed, and then they collect the food in their throat, they'll bring it back and feed the chick in the nest there.
Oh, you know, okay. So
they're amazing birds, actually really aerial. They sleep in there, you know, they can shut half their brain down at a time, so they're kind of just drifting up there in the currents. And when a chick leaves the nest, it might not breed for 2 or 3 years. And in those 2 or 3 years, they think it won't touch the ground. They spend the whole time there. They migrate to Africa for the winter, and they reckon they're in there the whole time. The only time they land is when they come to nest spots like this. In fact, if they land on the ground, it's very often difficult for them to take off, you know, and sometimes they end up stranded in the ground, can't get back in there again. So they're just amazing birds, like, you know. And swifts would be one of our birds that's adapted to living in cities. They're nearly always found in cities. So they kind of get a sight and they'll keep coming back to it for years on end, and they can live a long time. So they actually get a little crevice that they go into. And of course, modern buildings tend to not have as many crevices, so we're very concerned. We do know swifts have really declined a lot in recent years. Probably various reasons, including a lot fewer insects. There may be problems on their wintering grounds. This time of year they're in Africa. But one problem is the loss of nesting sites, so that's something we can address. And these boxes, and I know they've been very, very successful. They've just been up there a few years. I think most of the boxes, there's about 25 there now.
Yeah,
a lot of the boxes are occupied now.
Do they like to live all together?
Well, they do. They're one birds that kind of lives in colonies. The hard part is if you're on a site where there's no swift's nest, and there's really, you can't just put up boxes and hope that they show up. You play kind of sound recordings of the birds, and that'll attract them in. And it might take, you know, 2 or 3 years before they kind of start to nest there. We did have one or two pairs nesting here, but we did play the sound recordings too, and it seems to have really worked. So we've got lots and lots of birds in here nesting.
Here's what those swifts sound like.
It's a kind of positive story, you know, how kind of groups, even in towns and cities, can help out our bird life, you know, and especially a species like the swift that there's a lot of concern about. Again, where I live in Ballymote, we got a few boxes up with the help of Donald Coveney at his place of work. And last year we got our first resident taken up. We've been playing the recordings for 2 or 3 years and we finally got one. So hopefully there'll be more taken up there in the coming years. And I was particularly worried in Ballymote. You know, I've lived there 15 years. When I first moved to town, I would generally see maybe 20 or 30 swifts circling all summer. And it got down to where I was just saying, you know, a handful, maybe three or four. So hopefully we're kind of going to save them in Ballymote and kind of build up the numbers, you know, there.
And hopefully all those efforts will help to increase the numbers. What Michael clued me into there is the fact that looking up is often a good option if you want to find wildlife in our towns. Even certain birds of prey have adapted to living in urban environments. And if you look skywards, you might be lucky enough to catch some of their fabulous aerial antics over Sligo.
For example, peregrine falcons, that's a bird again that traditionally would have nested in cliffs, feeding on rock doves and things like that. And but we kind of quite often get them perched in buildings in Sligo. They used to perch regularly on the cathedral there. And again, they'd be hunting for pigeons, which are descended from the rock doves that originally lived out in the cliffs, are kind of city pigeons are descended from them. Peregrine's a great success story kind of nationally, globally, because there was concerns about the 1980s that they could go extinct, largely because of DDT. It was getting into the food chain. It ended up with the peregrines and it affected their reproduction. It actually made their eggs real thin and they're unviable eggs they were producing. So since they've banned DDT, they've come back, and there'd be quite a few pairs nesting here in Sligo, very often in quarries or in cliff faces, you know, too. And in some towns, I know in Mullingar, they actually nest on the cathedral there, so they will nest in man-made buildings as well. A bird of prey, most of the time, they're not out there flying. Most of the time, they're just sitting and kind of sitting up high as a good perch. They can see all around them, you know, and see what's going on. And then they can fly out and get a pigeon for lunch if they want, or head into the bay and get some little shorebird or something. So,
and how would somebody spot one, say, in town?
The first sign, very often, especially in the winter, you'll see all the birds just take off and in terror, and you know, they'll form a real tight flock, fly around, and that's a sign to look up, because very often that's a sign of a bird of prey. And they're a large falcon, which means they've got kind of very streamlined wings, streamlined appearance, incredibly fast flyers too. And if you're lucky enough, you can see one chase into a group of birds, and the speed of them is incredible. With the peregrines, I mean, they can fly up really high too, and they'll be spotting below. If they see a potential victim, they'll almost dive bomb like a bullet, incredible speeds, and then they kind of go into the, very often into a flock of birds and disperse them. They try to pick one off, you know, so.
That's pretty dramatic, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Now we're going to turn our back on the town and continue over the hill towards Duck Street to the next stop on our trail. We're following the stream at the bottom of the hill along Ash Lane to the entrance of IT Sligo.
So, IT Sligo sits just on the edge of Sligo Town, Just to the south of us, we have the hospital. We have the Manor Hamilton Road on one side. We have what was St. Columbus and is now a hotel, and other buildings belonging to the HSE to the north of us.
We met Declan Feeney of the IT's Environmental Science Department at Strigia last week. This week, he's a little closer to home.
You can hear the traffic. It's really busy around here. It's a quite an intensive, busy, active place. There's lots of roads and lots of noise. But yet in the middle of the campus, we've got this massive area that is coming down in ecological life. It's really rich in biodiversity. And it's a corridor that connects the ecology of the campus right down into Sligo Bay. This is not something that was naturally here. Through foresight, we've developed an area of biodiversity on campus.
So tell me a little bit about how this area came about.
Anyone that comes to IT Sligo now will realise that our entrance is off Ash Lane, which is the main road onto the hospital as well. But that entrance was put in sometime in the mid to late 1990s. And at the time, a colleague of ours who's since retired, Dr. Don Cotton, was approached and asked about how we could actually do some landscaping. But Don hijacked the entire project. He said, look, you've all this area. With some money, with some foresight, we can do an awful lot with it. He says, look, there is a canal there, a canal that used to connect historically with the Hazelwood Estate, and is now sitting there. It's quite overgrown and we ignore it. Why don't we do something with it? So why don't we open up one area, you know, spread it wide, move the banks back, make it into a ponded area. It'll look muddy, it'll look pretty awful at the start, but what'll happen is that a lot of the vegetation will colonize itself. Let's put in specific trees, let's put in a banks area around it and put in some wooden structures where we can have birds roosting, where we can have encourage things like kingfisher. So we actually have kingfisher coming into the campus on IT Sligo. And that's all from a little bit of foresight and a little bit of planning. So that's nearly 20 odd years ago. And in that interim, we suddenly have got this huge area that spreads from the entrance right down towards Sligo Estuary that's rich in biodiversity. And actually, beyond the traffic right now, I can hear bird life. And during the summer months, you can hear insects. You can get wildflowers growing in the area. We also have, I suspect, we've got lots of birds that use this as a nesting area. And probably we've other mammals coming in too. And these are areas that we're actually studying.
Imagine what would have been missed out on without that bit of surreptitious colonisation. This wild corner also plays an unforeseen role in college life, both recreational and educational.
Well, we see the area running along by the Ash Lane stream, which is basically our biodiversity corridor, as a living lab. And the expression living lab, or the term living lab, is where we take the science and the laboratory and we actually bring it part of life. Because doing an experiment in the lab, you would mean that we're in a room and it's got artificial lighting and we're wearing white coats and it's very artificial in nature, and it's at a distance from real nature. So a living lab is where we're actually working in the environment. So we are using this area not only for planting of species and looking at the diversity of life here, but we also use the stream and as part of our ecological experiments within the environmental science department. We use the area as a survey area for our engineering department. It's a very good location also for students to come out and for well-being and for their own mental health and for staff, of course, as well. But all these things are part of the living lab that we would have on campus. Bringing nature into education is good for everybody. Students come down Ash Lane, they come in the gate, they can cross the bridge over our small stream, walk up through the trees and go up into IT Sligo. The beauty of having this area is that students on the way into college and the way out of college can connect with nature as they move through. They'll feel a change in surroundings. They're not surrounded by cars right up to the front door. They're not surrounded by buildings right up to the front door. And beyond that, we get lots and lots of people that travel through IT Sligo. They walk their dogs, they get exercise, they use our grounds. And it all comes down to having somewhere nice to walk.
We have moved to the other side of the stream now. And
it's a lot quieter. And it's a lot quieter because, well, we have moved slightly further away from the road, but we're the far side of this ecological corridor. We're on the northern side of the stream. We're closer to playing pitches, which are quiet at the moment, but the traffic has reduced in sound, mainly because we are surrounded by a whole swathe of trees that have been here for the last 20 plus years. So this biodiversity corridor, while it's great for nature, great for the environment, it actually cuts down noise. It actually cuts down air pollution as well, because it helps to absorb a lot of pollutants that we would have, specifically from traffic, mainly in Sligo Town it would be traffic. That can work for any environment in an urban area. So it may be a housing estate or housing development, it could be a factory or it could be an industrial estate. If there is a little bit of consideration to where nature can actually thrive and to grow and build these sort of corridored areas, these areas, these banks of wilderness effectively within our urban areas, they can provide a lot of services. And that's ecosystem services. That's where we get things for free off the environment. For example, we're now getting some sound suppression. We're not putting up big hoardings. We just get it naturally. We're getting air pollutants being drawn out of the air by the trees around us. We're also getting the beauty of having nature in our area. But beyond that, we're also getting flood protection from the riparian zone on our stream. And we're also possibly getting fruit. We might get nuts and berries, depending on the time of year. This is something that we can get for free, and we're inherently linked to it. It provides all our food. Actually, it provides a lot of our clothes as well.
One species of honeybee, about 20 species of bumblebee, but then there's about 80 species of bee that are solitary bees that kind of live in their own. Some are very tiny.
Clearly IT Sligo are thinking about the bigger picture. Michael Bell showed me that thinking smaller can sometimes be the right way to go. There are plenty of tiny creatures to be found in the heart of our towns and housing estates.
Bees obviously are very important, but I keep emphasising people, we're kind of forgetting all the other things that are important too, the moths, the butterflies. And moths are something that people wouldn't think of as being very interesting, but I have a little light box. It's a little moth trap, and like, I live in a little estate, and in my garden I've recorded, I think it's about 250 species of moths, so it's amazing the diversity of them around. And lots of them are kind of tiny, some are dull, but there's lots of beautiful moths that we're just not aware of, you know. So, but you can get little smaller moth traps and just start recording the moths in your garden. And you'd be amazed, you know, that what would be in any garden here in Sligo. So, and especially May and June, you get some incredible looking hop moths, just absolutely fantastic looking insects. And if you do start to do it, it'd be really addictive, you know. I mean, you'll get different species throughout the year. And something like moths are a good bioindicator of what's going on around us too. Because the fact there are so many different species, some of them are very much generalists, you know, depend on, you know, a real variety of plants. Some of them might depend on one particular plant. So by which ones are increasing, which ones are decreasing, it kind of gives us an idea to what's going on in the wider environment as well.
But are there a couple of moths that you could describe that people could look out for?
There's one that I quite often come across by day. It's called an angle shades, and it's pretty distinct in that it kind of, its wings fold up almost like a fighter jet, and they're kind of tan color with kind of darker markings on the wings too. You can look out for that one in your garden.
How big would they be?
Not very big. They're maybe a couple of centimeters long, you know. Another one that quite often see during the day is the silver eye moth, and it's actually an immigrant moth. We don't think of insects migrating, but they actually migrate in here in massive numbers sometimes. They have a little, it's almost like a little metallic Y mark on their wing. And if you're a soccer fan, you might remember the Euros where Ronaldo got covered in moths. Those were silver Y moths that were migrating, and they were attracted by the floodlights, and you know, and that's what caused that. But those moths, they will end up in Ireland too, like, you know. So, and again, there's all kinds of different wasps and stuff, and there's 180 species of hoverflies. So, and even with mobile phones, you very often get good pictures. And the other thing is, when you do kind of start noticing insects like that, is just learning. You start to learn about their life history and how interesting they are.
In the educational setting, they'll talk about the indoors, the outdoors, and then the beyond. And very few preschool sessions can offer the beyond, which is kind of a hidden space from the adult for the child to be and explore, but still in a safe way because they have clear boundaries. So yeah, we learn the children here because it's so much space to run and be free. They have that, but in a safe way. But they have to make decisions. They have their own boundaries to mind and watch, and they're very good at schooling each other. So yeah, so the door is very rarely closed in the polytunnel. So we do have our indoors, we do have our outdoors, and then we have our beyond. And that's the woods, which would be lovely to go and have a look at if you'd like to.
Yeah, that'd be great. Okay.
You might remember Tricia McLaughlin from the first programme in our series. And certainly all that space that our forest school has does come as a bit of a surprise, as it lies so close to densely populated areas of Sligo, between the housing estates of Cranmore and those of Tonnafobble and Cairns Hill.
It is a space that people can use.
Yeah, because it's so close to the centre of town. If you're at the running track in Clevra, or if you're down at the sports centre or the race course, I mean, 5 minutes and you're here.
And you're here, you're just literally
it's beautiful
here.
Space.
Yeah, and it's and it, exactly, and there's so many different parts to it. So I love it that it has these different levels. You know, you have your entrance and then you have to climb up and up and you have the cliff face there. And which is a wonderful shelter. So yeah, so there's lovely, very really old woods here, predominantly beech at the front, a lot of oak at the south and down that way, and then a lot of like there's birch over there. So we have a wide variety in different spaces. Over here in one of the big beech trees is a used to be a dray, a little squirrel home, and lovely. And so when if we're very peaceful and lying still, sometimes we'd get the gift of seeing a little squirrel popping past. And then we do have a badger set at the far end over there, and with lots of little different holes and access in. But it's lovely to know that there's so much life here. And yeah, there's a lot of moss and lichen on the trees, which is another sign that the air is very clear and good. On the ground, there are a lot of different fungi growing. And then we have at the front here a lot of hawthorn. With their lovely red seeds. And then we have one very dominant tree, which is the yew tree. And they have the most beautiful, juicy red berries, but it's the seed in them that's very poisonous. But there's an abundance for the other creatures that live here. It's wonderful,
yeah.
And actually, every time we walk up the field and get to the top here, before we enter the woods, we look over at the mountains. And if there's a lot of clouds that side of Benbulben, we know rain's coming our way. And you can literally count in 5 minutes and the rain comes down. Yes, and sometimes the kids, when they're in the woods, they'll just pop out to the top of the hill here. They'll look over at Benbulben and the mountain range there, and they'll say, "Trish, clear," or "Trish, rain coming." And so they, yeah, they're a little bit of knowledge and they're just sharing it with the group. It's a very tangible thing to see and connect and learn.
That beautiful area at Clevra Woods shows us that there's room for wildlife in some unexpected places. And providing corridors for that wildlife by linking areas like this can make a huge difference. Declan Feeney filled me in on plans that are afoot to do exactly that.
So IT Sligo and our Green Campus, the Green Campus within Sligo University Hospital, Sligo Tidy Towns and the Heritage Officer Siobhan Ryan and Sligo County Council are all interested in the green spaces within Sligo Town. And of course, the hospital and the IT is right beside each other. They're right beside Fort Hill, which is a historical site. We are literally a green space within the middle of Sligo Town. Actually, it links the whole way into Sligo Town itself. And some of it's nice in terms of, you know, visual beauty, and others is nice in terms of biodiversity, but we need to do something a little bit more. We need to try and encourage biodiversity in the right places. So what we're doing at the moment is we have a fourth year student in the environmental science program, and his final year thesis is to map the green spaces from Sligo IT through the hospital up around Fort Hill and down into Sligo Town, so that we can then decide where would be good locations to put in walking paths. But we're going to kind of try and take a step further and try and encourage a thing called edible walking paths. And it means you put in native species, but you put in native flowering species that produce fruit or nuts. So, for example, you might have raspberries, you might have apples, you might have native species of fruit the whole way, maybe not the whole way along, that you could pick yourself. Or it'll fall on the ground and effectively become food for other species. So we'll encourage biodiversity purely by having some really nice planting and careful planting along these routes. We have lots and lots of species that we can actually utilise. One of the ones I didn't mention is native Irish cherry. And so some of these need a little bit of management on our part, that we keep a path that's, you know, safe for people to walk, but yet they can connect with nature. So there's the well-being for people, but there's the increased biodiversity. And what you'll get, of course, with that is you'll get, ground species that will naturally use the food, but also you'll get birds will use it as well. They'll pollinate some of those species. They'll means that they'll actually take and actually capture a greater area of land around our area of biodiversity, our ecosystem around here in North Sligo. So the object is really to try and bring people closer to nature in urban areas. But on top of that, we get lots and lots of things back. Yeah. And that can happen in any part of the Sligo area or any area in Ireland. It just takes a little bit of planning and it takes a little bit of communication, because we all have our ways of doing things. So we need to communicate with all the people who are working within the IT and within the hospital and using the likes of Fort Hill area, what we're doing and why we're doing it. Science is very good at doing things and experimenting and finding things, but we actually have to communicate why a lot of the time. And what we find generally is when you do that, people are really receptive to it. They want to see these changes, and it helps them because it helps their community.
So if connecting different green spaces is great for nature in towns and cities, Michael Bell made me think of another connector that we might not usually consider in those terms. One that runs right through the heart of Sligo town.
Even where we are now, kind of along the edge of the river, there's kind of nice trees, and that's it's like a wildlife corridor for lots of wildlife. Bats especially, they won't fly across open areas, so you've got more mature trees and a kind of line that connects different woodlands, different habitats up. And actually, you know, in Sligo, in the middle of town, in summer and the evening, you can see lots and lots of bats, especially along the edge of the river there too. So yeah, they're going to be feeding. There's lots of insects over the river in the summer, so they're going to be feeding in that.
Is it all those clouds of midges that come off the trees?
Yeah, that'd be a big thing, like, you know, so, and the bats are helping control those midges and things, like, you know, so. So again, you know, kind of little corridors like that, if you're fortunate to have a river in your town, that's great, but you know, you can create kind of natural corridors within towns, maybe even if you're not in a river, through hedgerows and things like that too. So
where do they roost?
Well, during the summer, usually the female bats will be in a nursery together. Maybe it could be in a abandoned building or a hollowed out tree. Now the male bats tend to be more solitary, and they'll be flying around, and then during the daytime they're going to roost in little crevices and holes in trees. And another way, if you do have large trees in your garden, you might consider putting up bat boxes too. And they won't hibernate them in the winter, the small boxes, but they will use them in the summer. The male bats will roost in them. And one small bat, you know, could end up with about 30 bats inside it. You know, bats are very tiny little things, and they cram into little small spaces. So.
Right, because you see the bat boxes along here on the river, and they're maybe 6 or 8 inches.
Yeah,
across.
About the size of a typical bird box. And they just have a little slit opening where the bats crawl into. And like I say, you get 20 or 30 bats in there in the summer roosting together. So they're social animals too, like, you know, so. And again, it would mostly be the male bats, that the females will be in a larger space, you know, in a nursery together with the baby bats usually. So.
Further along the river towards Dorley Park, I met with Connie Nell and some children from the Cranmore Co-op as they set out on a circuit from their community garden to see what plants and creatures they could find. They started with just one tree.
I need one volunteer.
Me.
The two of you. Come around here. Shake this tree for us.
Like that?
Yeah.
Can you shake it? Help them.
I'm shaking.
Okay. I'm helping.
Okay. Oh, I see animals. Now, what do we have? Put it down. What is this?
What did you find?
Dust.
Is it moss?
It's wood. No.
It's
wood.
Something, I think it's like the tree.
Is it banner? And the leaf. There's one.
Look at this.
One. Look what we have here. Oh, and there. Where's the bug jar?
What do you think it'd be? Oh, I got him in.
Close it.
You got him in.
James, can I put some bugs on it?
There's a bug! I found a bug!
An earwig.
Ooh, I'm not a...
Who would dare to touch an earwig? And hold it in their hand.
So how many living things do you think are in this tree? Bugs and earwigs.
About 5,000.
5,000, a million?
8,560.
I don't know, biggest number ever. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Does everyone know the importance of trees?
Yeah.
What is it?
They give us fresh air, and we got paper off them.
Yeah. That's not all, is it? Fresh air? What else?
Any more problems?
Where do the birds nest?
Bird trees.
Trees.
Proof that even in the smallest outdoor pockets, a single tree, we can discover nature. And noticing this is good for everyone.
It's good for them. Kids don't get out from morning to night. They don't get out and they don't. It's all estates or it's all let's go to an adventure centre. It's not getting out to the wild learning things. And they love it. They have loads of fun doing it, so they do. They're learning, they're interested, and it shows that the kids do want to learn things. And it's fun for them. A simple walk around the block, and it's fun learning. Like, I open my front door, and to my right is Kieran's Wood. To my front is just, it's everywhere. It's beautiful. Like, yeah, we have it all around here. It's beautiful.
So I need somebody to explain what we did today.
We're picking leaves.
We were shaking this tree and getting the stuff off it.
Crust. Bugs
and crust.
We found we found bark.
We were naming trees.
An oak tree.
That's all I really found.
We were hearing the trees. We were smelling them, hugging them.
Kiss that man?
Oh! James kissed the tree and he licked it as well.
Right, I want to get a photograph
of you. Right, 1, 2, 3, Cranmore! And a big thanks to all those enthusiastic children at Cranmore for their lovely welcome. For our final stop today, we're heading back along the riverbank to Hyde Bridge in the very centre of Sligo. In this spot, which is so busy with cars and people, you could easily overlook a little bird with special aquatic powers that can often be seen if we take the time to pause and look over the bridge when the water is low.
Right in the middle of town, we'll get dippers, which are fantastic little birds. They can actually walk under the water. They're like a little songbird, a little very rounded appearance, brown with a white throat. And they actually go into the under the water, and they'll be feeding on caddisfly larvae and things like that. You know, they can stay under maybe a minute or whatever, and you'll see them pop up.
And do they have special kind of feathers that allow them to go under the water like that?
Yeah, well, they're really well adapted. They've also got a little kind of shield that goes over their, across their eye to protect their eyes, a little membrane. And the weathers do kind of keep them very waterproof, you know, too, when they're under the water, keep them nice and dry and stuff too, like, you know. So. And they've nested, you know, right in town at the bridge beside the glass house there too. And you'll see grey wagtails, which is another bird. You get long rivers, they'll be right in the middle of town as well. So.
And how would you recognise that they had a nest, I suppose?
Well, you'll see them going back and forwards during the nesting season. They're one of the first birds to nest in the season. They nest generally quite early in March, that time of year. And you'll see them constantly going back and forth. If you see a beak full of food, you know, they nearly always nest under bridges, you know, over water is where they would typically nest. And they like kind of places where the river's not too deep, you know, where they'll feed and where it's kind of fast flowing rivers like that. So that's fantastic. Again, in the middle of town, you know, shoppers all around. Again, you'll very often see herons standing there by the weir.
Well, I certainly think today's trip has opened my eyes to what's all around us in our towns and villages. From now on, I am going to spend a little more time looking up and down when I'm going about my business. And perhaps we could all think of small ways that we can open the door to wildlife, even in busy areas.
Being in an urban environment, we need to make sure that we tidy the right areas and sort of leave the other areas. Let them be nature. That's a challenge because we as humans like to have very neat lines. We like to have tidy shelves. We like to, you know, do the hoovering and do the cleaning. And we tend to do that in our gardens too. So what we need to do is that if we're going to leave areas for biodiversity, it might mean it looks a little bit untidy at some point in the year, maybe the whole way through the winter. What we need to do is maybe do an education program around that, and that's what we've been doing in IT Sligo. We're actually educating the staff and the visitors to the campus to explain why areas are left a little bit more untidy. Let to grow a little bit more. Let long grass in summer take. Let flowers blossom. They're all part of the biodiversity program. So there's areas that we cut and we manicure and we maintain, and they do give those clean lines that we do want, but we do it in specific areas, and in other places we let biodiversity take over and be itself. In the campus itself, we have a contact research unit. So their work is around helping communities to go to low carbon communities. So we've actually had a huge success with the amount of local people in the Northwest that want to work on a community basis with our contact research unit. And that's been a real success, not only for the college, but for the communities around Sligo. So if anyone's interested in that, they can actually contact the college and ask about the contact research unit in IT Sligo, or myself, of course, and I'll be able to direct them.
So it's goodbye from me from the streets of Sligo. Thank you for tuning in today. If you liked what you heard, you can listen again next week at the same time for more.
Slow down, everyone, you're moving too fast. Frames can't get you when you're moving like that. Moving too
This series was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.